Please be seated. Today we keep the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany, as you may know, is a Greek word meaning manifestation, to be revealed. And these weeks after the Epiphany reveal to us the nature, the identity of Jesus. We just have finished our celebration of the Christmas season, and in these weeks after the Epiphany, we have the chance to learn who is this one born the child of Mary. His nature is in this season revealed to us, and we come to see that he's more than a teacher. He's more than a good man whose moral example we should emulate. That certainly is all true, but Jesus actually is revealed as the incarnate Son of God, the Savior of the entire world. In Jesus, God puts on human flesh. In Jesus, we can gaze on the face of God and live. In Jesus, God comes right where we are and lives among us. In Jesus, God comes into human existence and time and shows us the depths of God's love for us. And in Jesus, we are lifted to the divine life of God. And we see these things in our scripture lessons today. Our first lesson from the book of Genesis reminds us of how God spoke into being all of creation. The wind of God, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of chaos, birthing creation. The wind, the Spirit of God active. Jesus, the eternal Word of God, as John's Gospel tells us, the Word is present at the creation of everything that is. The Word through whom all things are made. And Genesis tells us, as each day progresses, as the creation is made, God pronounces every part of creation good. Genesis tells us that all parts, even humanity, are called by God good. And so we as humans are called to remember this, to remember the goodness of ourselves, the goodness of all creatures. We are called to express that by showing love and care for the created order made by God in love. The goodness of creation is also affirmed in our gospel today. Jesus comes to be baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And when he does, the Spirit of God, that same Spirit present at creation, the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus. And we hear that voice from God the Father saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." These are words that affirm the goodness, the belovedness of humanity, of the Son Jesus. For Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Jesus is God's love incarnate in the world. And Jesus comes affirming that each person is also beloved of God. Jesus comes showing us that all people are good, that all people are created by God in love, that all people are held by God in God's love and are named beloved children. It is through the waters of baptism that we claim our high calling, our calling as beloved of God. In baptism, we are incorporated into the very name of Jesus, into the identity of Jesus. We become part of his body. And just as we are claimed by Jesus for eternity, so we are invited to claim our changed identity as beloved children of God. This morning is a baptismal day in the prayer book, and we will renew our baptismal covenant in a few moments. That baptismal covenant reminds us of what it means to live as the baptized, as the beloved children of God. It reaffirms the holy calling given to us. It reminds us of the charge given us by Jesus in the waters of baptism. And the promises made in baptism are nothing short of reorienting our lives to Jesus, of directing our heart, our will to following Him. In the baptismal covenant, we promise to turn away from evil and turn to God. We promise to proclaim the good news of Christ, witnessing through our lives by our actions as well as by our words. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we promise to strive for justice and peace, respecting the dignity of every human being. This is a tall order. These are not easy to do. We can only do this with God's help. But these promises are how we are called to live the life of the beloved of God. And they require that we see ourselves and also every other person as loved by God, as made in God's image, as redeemed by Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we are clothed with the identity of Jesus as beloved children of God. And we also promise that we will see the belovedness bestowed on all people by God's love. It's challenging to live this way. It's challenging to remember that we are beloved of God. And certainly our society offers us so many negative messages, so many reminders of all the ways we are not beloved, of how we don't have as much value as others. Everything in our society is reduced to economic value. And in this system, some people have great worth while others have less. And sadly, some even are considered expendable. And so I feel like we're given so many reasons by our society to view ourselves negatively, to feel very far from the state of being beloved, beloved of God, or frankly, beloved of anyone. Henry Nouwen, the author, academic, and priest, wrote that our difficulty in claiming our calling as beloved of God is in fact a great detriment to our spiritual lives. In his book, Life of the Beloved, Spiritual Living in a Secular World, Nouwen observes, and I quote, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence." Unquote. Nouwen is reminding us that being beloved is in fact who we are. It is the core truth of our identity in Christ. We are created by God in love, by a lavish love poured out on us simply because we are. We do not need to earn this love, and in fact, we cannot earn this love. We are simply loved because God loves us. It's a great gift. It is one that we don't deserve, but we are freely given by God. We are created by God to be people loved by God, who then, in turn, love others. We love others because God first loved us, because God calls us to live in loving relationship with God, with ourselves, with one another, and in fact with the whole of creation. And if we do this, if we live in this way, our lives are forever changed. Living as the beloved changes who we are. And in fact, it is through living the life of the beloved that we come to know God's call for us, that we can understand the vocation, the life that God has in store for each of us uniquely. And we see that in Scripture, just as Jesus moves from his baptism in the River Jordan on into the wilderness, he enters a time of discernment, of testing. He spends 40 days in the wilderness and emerges at the end of that period, especially in Mark's gospel. He emerges at the end of that time with a clear sense of his mission, of his ministry. That promise holds for us. Nouwen says, and I quote again, "From the moment we claim the truth of being the beloved, we are faced with the call to become who we are. Becoming the beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make." Augustine's words, "My soul is restless until it rests in you, O God, capture well this journey," unquote. Making this journey into the life of the beloved allows us to know who we are. It allows us to embrace the specific life and vocation that God intends for each of us. And then, of course, this journey changes us, because if we know ourselves beloved, we can't help but see other people as beloved. We can't help but honor the fullness of their identity as beloved of God. And we will then be a blessing, a comfort to all we meet. We will be a reminder of the love God has for all other people, for all of God's children. And we will also, without ceasing, work to oppose the dehumanizing evil and forces, the injustice of our world. Journeying through the waters of baptism, we are grasped by God. We are claimed as Christ's own forever. We are marked and named beloved of God. And in those waters, we are lifted into the very divine life of God, into the life of love of the Holy Trinity. There is no doubt that we live in challenging times. It's a difficult age. It's one marked by suffering, by war, by injustice, by all the forces that dehumanize people, that reject people's belovedness as children of God. But thanks be to God, we follow Jesus. We follow God incarnate in our midst, the King of all creation, and all things are in his hand. The forces of evil and hate will not prevail. Our hope rests in the one strong enough to defeat even the power of death, the one who, in fact, has already won for us the victory. It is through baptism that we share, even now, in his resurrection life. And so our holy call and charge is to embrace our belovedness, to walk always in the light of God's love. And by our witness, by the witness of everyone who follows Jesus as their Savior, we will find the power needed in this time. It is only the light of God's love that can transform and heal the evil and division of this world. Our only hope is in the Son born of Mary, the one who comes to lift humanity above the sin of this world into the divine life of love that is, in fact, the life of the beloved with God. Amen.